So our Revelation study finds us in Revelation 6 with the sixth seal. We're continuing there. And let's reread that. And Sister Cheryl, could you read Revelation 6 and verse 12 through 17, please?
And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. And the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs, when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island removed out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, or over us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?
And I didn't say this, but could you also read chapter 7, verse 1?
And after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on the tree.
And then chapter 8, verse 1, please.
And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was a silence in heaven, about the space of a half an hour.
All right. Thank you. So we really left off on verse 15, but we just wanted to touch on a few things. I asked Sister Cheryl to read 7 verse 1 because there's a, ongoing clue about it. And after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth. And it continues. So we know that in the book of Revelation, this phrase, and after these things, is designed to give us, as it were, like a heads up. It's a, there's a change. And it's not always timing, and sometimes it is, but sometimes it not necessarily so. It can relate differently. But we're just keeping that in mind. And then we read 8:1 because that's where the seventh seal is opened. And this plays into part of how we want to try for ourselves to understand why the seventh seal is separated from the previous six seals. And stating, I'll state the obvious, the first six seals are found in the sixth chapter. But with the seventh seal is separated by the seventh chapter. And we have this phrase that we read in 7:1. So it's just causing us to think and reflect on what this represents. Actually, we all spend much more time in chapter 7 throughout the year in our studies than we do in chapter 6 or in chapter 8, because the seventh chapter, as we know, talks about the completion of the 144,000. Talks about the completion of the great multitude. And those are things we are most interested in because we believe we're living at the time of the seventh stage of the church, the time when the seventh trumpet is sounding. So we are expecting it, the seventh chapter. We are expecting these things to take place in our time frame, as it were, the time of the end, as even beyond the time of the end. It's the time of during our Lord's parousia or presence, and then the conclusion of the gospel age. So we spend a lot more time, as I say, just talking about various aspects of the seventh chapter than these others. But in the sixth chapter, in the sixth seal, what we've been trying to demonstrate is that the French Revolution, as Brother Russell pointed out, is scripturally used to depict the events of the final Armageddon crash. Similarly, the fall of Jerusalem at the first advent, as it were, thereafter, the fall of Jerusalem at the hands of the Romans also is a depiction of the Armageddon crash. So last week, we were looking at symbols that are here in the sixth seal, like the darkening of the sun and the moon and the falling of the stars. We were looking at those same symbols being used elsewhere in scripture to try to demonstrate that what happened in the French Revolution is an indicator to us of what we can expect in the either taking place now in the beginning stage or more fully in the final Armageddon stage. And the point is that if something is still yet to happen in the Armageddon stage, we try to benefit ourselves by learning from other places that depict or picture what's going to happen in the future as it had already happened in the past. So, last week we looked at Matthew 24 at the stars, the sun, and the moon and what happened. And we talked about that as being signs of when the Lord's parousia would take place. And there is aspects of that happening, and there will also be aspects of it having a fuller fulfillment. We didn't look at Joel, the second chapter, but there are a couple of verses there that also talk about these end time fulfillment that are similar. So we're going to take a look at Joel, second chapter, and see. Sister Molly, I'll ask you to read there for us, please. Joel 2. And got it there. It's going to be verses 30 through 32, please. 30 to 32.
Joel 2:30-32. I will show wonders in the heavens and on the earth. The sun will be turned to darkness, the coming of the great and dreadful, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. For on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem, there has said, among the survivors whom the Lord calls.
I got to say, you broke up about half of, we only heard about half of those verses. Want to give it another try?
Okay. Joel 2:30-32. I will show wonders in the heavens and on blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. For on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there will be deliverance, as the Lord has said, among the survivors whom the Lord calls.
Okay, that was a little better. Thank you. Did you have any comments on this offhand?
No, thank you.
Okay, all right. So Without first entertaining guesswork, does anyone have written notes on these verses? Which I ask that because I'm trying to keep us from becoming discombobulated. That's a great word. I always look forward to using it in our study. And so as someone have studied this in the past, Brother Russell does comment on these verses in the fourth volume. Does someone have notes on that? Mr. Cheryl and Brother Mark.
I have notes on verse 31. The darkness, it literally happened May 19th, 1780. It's written about in the fourth volume, 587. It's symbolically, it's the denial that they were bought with the blood of Jesus and replaced by the theory of evolution. That's from the fourth volume, page 592. And the darkness, I have the that was the darkness. I have the note for the blood. It just claims that the typical sacrifices were bloody and barbaric. They didn't see the sacrifice of Christ associated with it. Over.
All right. Very good. Thank you. Brother Mark.
So my comments would be similar. I had the moon as the law and then the blood, a meaningless sacrifice. And I have a cross reference to Hebrews 12:24, I think it is. So over.
Okay. Very good. Thank you. Ruth and then Brother Chris.
Just reading from the comments from reprint 53:18 may refer to social upheaval, political and financial troubles, also some great physical manifestation of divine power in the time of trouble.
Okay, thank you. Brother Chris.
I just had on verse 31, the great and notable day of the Lord come, and the cross reference to that is Acts 2 verse 20, where he quotes this verse. Peter quotes this verse, and that verse in Acts 2:20 I have cross-linked to Matthew 24:29, which we looked at last week. Over.
All right, very nice. Brother Mark. Kendall.
Well, this is on those two verses exactly, but a few verses ahead of it. And we often use this to show that the Lord's going to pour his spirit on all flesh. But that's after these days. But in those days, verse 29, he pours it upon his servants and handmaids, which apply to the church. So during the trouble, church will know what's going on, but the world really won't understand it until after the trouble. And then the Lord's Spirit will be poured out upon all flesh. Over.
Okay. Thank you. Very good. Other comments on these verses here? I'm not sure I'm not missing someone's hand. Okay. So, I think as the friends will recall, that in their studies of these verses is found in the fourth volume, for example, on the pages, you know, suggested, and I think it was said, but I'm going to repeat page 593. But the thought is that this is taking place during our Lord's parousia. And page 593 in the fourth volume, you're in the Matthew 24 prophecies explanation, our Lord's great prophecy. That's the study. So the point is these verses are applying during the seventh stage of the church. They're applying during our Lord's second presence. They're applying during our day and will reach a crescendo in the future. It is this notable day of Jehovah, Lord, all in caps, verse 31. So you see, we're talking about this frame of time that we're living in. This is not the French Revolution. It's not. But what I think we've been reading in Revelation 6 in the 6th seal is unmistakably the French Revolution. And what happened in France during the French Revolution is a forewarning or a picture of what is going to happen on a much grander scale throughout the rest of Christendom. And so I'm going to leave it at that just to say that we've looked now at three sets of scriptures over the last 2 weeks. Our set in Revelation 6 about the sun, moon, and stars. The verses in Matthew 24, and now these verses in Joel 2. And we've put them, hopefully, we've got them straightened to where we're looking at the Revelation 6 French Revolution, a 1/10 part of the city that had this experience of throwing out the Bible and the clergy with it is a depiction of our day when the Bible is in some corners being ignored, but that will continue to grow until finally, in the end, the whole so-called Christian world will be cast out. The other 9/10 of the city, Christendom, depicted by Babylon, will be thrown down or thrown out. So that was, I wanted to just kind of round out the study by looking at these other verses and just seeing these connections. Now, is there any comments on any of that? Okay, so we're going to then go back to our Revelation 6 and set something aside here. So we had our great earthquake, chapter 6, verse 12. This was not the greatest earthquake, but a great earthquake, French Revolution. And the gospel was darkened. People throughout the Bible, the Old and New Testament, they threw out the clergy, and the fig tree was untimely figs. Well, that was the depiction of how natural Israel was rejected by Jesus at the first advent. So nominal spiritual Israel was rejected in France during the French Revolution. And the mighty wind could have been the reign of terror, period, during the French Revolution. Wind can depict various things, but trouble was one. And the heaven, singular, departed as a scroll when it is rolled together. This is not the two ends of the scroll, Protestantism and papacy. This is papacy was cast out, that heaven. And every mountain and island were moved out of their places. The French generally thought that that depicted that the effect of the French Revolution was felt throughout Europe, as it were. The other monarchies were in distress thinking about what might happen to them when they saw what happened in France. And so they were moved, different forms of government, large and small, mountains and islands. They were moved, but they weren't removed. They were affected, but they weren't cast down. It was a localized earthquake or revolution to France. And that brings us to our verse. Well, I'll start on verse 15, but let me just ask, is there any comments on those 12, 13, 14? Okay, so we move into 15, and the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, chief captains, mighty men, every bond man, and every free man. We got seven. Definitions of individuals or groups of individuals, a better way of looking at it. And they hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, cover us. I know the King James says fall on us, but Sister Cheryl added the right thought. Cover us, hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, and continues. So we'll be happy to entertain comments on these verses. Brother Dan.
Brother Rick, starting with the seven, as you bring out, which we understand to be a complete number. So this trouble in the French Revolution, which pictures the final trouble, the final earthquake, shows that everyone or every aspect of society is affected by the trouble. And so, like the kings of the earth, we might think of the heads of governments, they'll be affected. The great men, back in the time of the French Revolution, you have your politicians, your parliamentary people. You know, today we've got Congress and Senate and governors and mayors and such, and your rich men, your wealthy, your aristocrats, and so on. So every member of society, every part of the government, religious and civil and economic, it'll all be affected by the trouble, just like it was in the French Revolution. Over.
Okay. All right. Good. Thank you. Good start. Sister Cheryl.
Well, it shows that men put their faith in the earthly organizations. They're expecting them to protect them and take charge and to be able to fix all things. So their hopes in the system instead of the Lord, instead of looking to him. So they're hoping they will cover them and take care of the problem. Over.
Okay. Very good. Very good. Thank you. Ruth.
Just regarding the French Revolution, a lot of the clergy class, the great ones of the clergy class, tried to flee into the countryside and pretend they were farmers, pretend that they were of the working class. So it kind of had like a fulfillment from that point of view, literally. Over.
All right, very good. Do you remember, before I call the next hands, Ruth, do you remember how they were found out?
Yeah, they would ask to see their hands, and they can tell from their hands if they were smooth and they weren't used to work. So they would arrest them and behead them, but they couldn't pretend, you know, like their lifestyle found them out.
Okay, very good indeed. Thank you. Sister Cheryl and Brookus.
Well, it reminded me of the scripture that the Lord's admonition is to seek meekness and righteousness, and maybe you'll be hid in the day of the Lord, not to seek the earthly systems to protect you. Over.
Yeah, very good. Thank you. Brother Chris. I'm not hearing you.
My comment was similar to Brother Dan's. I would just, because 14 kind of already tells us papacy is departed, the religious is removed, then the mountains and the islands are all shaken. And then at verse 15, I'd just like to read through with the list of who the seven may possibly be symbolically represented. And the heads of state of the earth and the institutions and the financiers and the generals and every business institution and every laborer and every professional or entrepreneur hid themselves in the dens and the rocks and the mountains. And just as Sister Cheryl brought out, all of them were looking for the insurance companies or the governments, those rocks, even though they're crumbling, to try to hide them, that they might be overlooked. With the catastrophe going on, focusing on the big governments, they might somehow be protected or in some way overlooked. Over.
Okay, no, that's very good, very helpful. Further comments? So two things we want to emphasize. Sister Debbie?
When you talk about the dens, is that like underground, like in the earth, where like Ruth was bringing out the clergy trying to pretend to be of the earth, or, you know, down with the serfs and that, like farmers and stuff? Is that what dens? Because I know dens are like underground. It's not like up in the mountains or in the mountains. It's underground. Over.
Well, that's probably interpretive, because I view the den like a cave. But the point is regardless, not to get sidetracked into that debate, the point is that they want the rocks of the mountains to hide them. They want earthly institutions that symbolize power and stability to hide them. That's what they're looking for. You know, on that, my dad once said to me years ago, he said, you know, there's two institutions that we have that continually present themselves as being all for you and all for your betterment and your protection. But when it really comes to it, that's the last thing they're really trying to do for you. So one is banks and the other are insurance companies. So if they've got a loophole, or if you need your money and it's not convenient for them, you won't get it. And we all learned that in the pandemic. How many of us went to the bank to try to withdraw some money only to find a little paper note taped to the door saying, sorry, this branch is closed and blah, 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 right? So, you can use your ATM card, but of course that only gives you so much money at a time, doesn't it? So if you were going to go buy that used car and you needed to have that cash in hand to pay for it, and it was going to cost you $5,000 and you have $10,000 in the bank, you couldn't access it till that bank opened, right? So there you go. And what was it? I forget which insurance company it was, but down, I think it was State Farm down in New Orleans. They found a loophole, so they weren't paying out to thousands and thousands of their customers the same way other insurance companies were. The government was after that. All right. So what looks like mountains looks very stable. It looks very impressive, and they promote themselves as being for your protection. These are earthly representations. And they don't provide the actual security that people are seeking in their time of trouble, because they are, you know, the Lord says that all things would be shaken. Now, in the French Revolution, what's being brought out is that the entire society was destabilized. Even the revolutionaries had their own conflicts within themselves. There were various factions that warred one against the other. I can't rattle off the few names that come to mind, but they were in their own death struggle. First, they were united against a common enemy, but then they themselves turned upon one another. And on a similar note, in the besiegement of Jerusalem in 70 AD, what took place was that the Jewish factions within the city started fighting amongst themselves. So these are two precursor pictures of how when the common enemy is brought down, the people turn upon themselves, and that will become anarchy. Now, at Jerusalem, the fall of Jerusalem, and here in the French Revolution, that anarchy was limited, because it was limited to that small period of time. And then something came up in its place. So it's just showing what we learn is that in our picture here, the French Revolution, every aspect of society was affected by that wind, that mighty wind, and that shaking. and they each sought their own parts. Now, I also had a list that I'll rattle off like the others, that the kings of the earth were the heads of government. The great men was the parliamentarians. The rich men were the aristocracy or our financiers. The chief captains were the generals. The mighty men were labor leaders, and the bond men were laborers, and the free men were professionals. That the dens and the caves were the unions, and the unions were formed, believe it or not, in the 1790s. Then the thought of being covered over, fall over us. So all those, that entire society was affected. Now, an interesting point, and I think Brother Chris was bringing it out, is that in verse 14, heaven departed. So that means the religious element fell first. Then in our verse 15, the government, the civil, the financial, which would be like merchants, and then every aspect of those who have an interest in the economic and social fabric in France fell apart. They were all affected. Doesn't that remind you how in Revelation, the 18th chapter, the harlots destroyed first, the kings of the earth stand afar off, and then the merchants bewail? And then in Revelation 18, remember, we had all the shipmen, we had the sailors, we had this whole delineation of how the entire society, the whole fabric of society, everyone who had an economic connection to Christendom, all see the handwriting on the wall, and they too then would suffer in that fall in the future. But here is the snapshot. Here's the small 1/10 part of the city aspect of how that would be. So with that then being said, it's very easy for us to see how in Brother Russell's comments on these verses in Revelation 6 on this, that he was showing and using these for the final Armageddon and final destruction of Christendom. And he was not trying to make comments to connect the six seals or the seven seals. And he didn't try to explain all seven seals in their context. So in my mind, I look at it that instead of separating these final few verses from the sixth seal and placing it into the future, sometime during the seventh seal, for myself, I've harmonized it by taking what Brother Russell explained, saying that's good here. However, it's in context situated with the French Revolution and what it affected during the period of the sixth seal, and keeping that in context, because in chapter 7, verse 1, and after these things, I saw the four winds being held back. So after the French Revolution, things were kept from going more widespread across Europe, but the winds would be let loose in the future. But Revelation, the seventh chapter, as we know, tells us that the 144,000 have to be sealed first. That's why these winds were held in check. So that mighty wind of chapter 6, verse 13, that mighty wind which blew and shook this untimely fig tree, because it wasn't yet the time for this to take place, to go widespread, that's the wind, that's in a sense the winds that are held in chapter 7, verse 1, in a limited sense. The French Revolution had to be contained from spreading throughout the rest of Europe. And the oddest thing, partly how it was so strange, that wind was partly contained of the French Revolution by the rise of Napoleon Bonaparte. And he brought back the empire. So odd. After this great revolution that he brought back the sense of a Roman Empire in a sense, because he wanted to be an emperor and he wanted his Josephine to be an empress. And he even brought back the papacy after he had put two popes in prison, one dying there. He even brought that back and had the pope present, even though he crowned himself. So in a very peculiar way, that French Revolution ended up being curbed by this man of destiny that we read all about in the book of Daniel for these other reasons. He's not mentioned here in Revelation 6, I don't believe, but he was, in effect, historically part of this very way in which it was stopped at that point in time. Very peculiar. So I'll stop there. Comments or questions on this so far? Any more on this? Brother James.
Well, yeah, my comment is just on that a revolution is just that. It comes back around. It doesn't do a 180. A revolution is a 360. And it shows that the groaning creation that they desire a government. They don't desire anarchy, even those anarchists that kind of think they do. Creation wants something to be stable, and they are crying out for the kingdom. They just don't know it. And that's what I get out of that verse 16 in this. They called to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us. So as soon as it was all disrupted, they want some kind of organization to help them. So that's my two cents. Over.
No, very good. Indeed. Thank you. Brother David.
Brother Rick, I was just going to make a comment about the dens, the way I liked it, because it's men digging in the earth instead of digging in the Word of God. And so that's all they know, really. When trouble comes, that's where they go. Over.
Yep, so true. Earthly society wants to be stable. Sister Debbie.
I hit the wrong button. Is there any special meaning or, suggestion to the idea of falling on us rather than, it said hide us, why not cover us, but it's saying fall upon us. Is there any special meaning to that? Over.
Well, the King James has fall, like you're bringing out, but I think the friends have been pointing out they think it's better rendered cover. And maybe there's some other translation, but they're not asking to be destroyed. They're asking to be protected. But did anyone have a different thought than that this was denoting protection, a seeking for protection in earthly systems? All right. I'll have to let that there then. Brother Chris?
I just wanted to shore up my notes here on this to make sure that you kept referring to this French Revolution picture being one-tenth of the city. Right. And is that because we're making the analogy with Revelation chapter 16, verse 19, where it talks about three parts of the city, which would be nine-tenths, the rest? This is like the end time picture. Is that the connection or?
Okay. You're asking a good question. We covered this a while back. You might have missed it on that study. You might not have been at that study per se. So I haven't been repeating it, but it's in Revelation 11. Probably good we turn there because maybe some others didn't see it. Revelation 11 and verse 13. And Brother Chris, why don't you read that for us?
And the same hour was there a great earthquake, and the tenth part of the city fell. And in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000, and the remnant were affrighted and gave glory to the God of heaven. All right. Now I remember. I couldn't find the note where the 1/10 was mentioned, and I was scouring everything. It's like the only thing I found was the chapter 16. So, okay, that brings it all back. Thank you.
Okay. Very good. So that's true. In 16, chapter 16, the seventh plague results in the complete destruction of that city, Babylon the Great. It's divided in three parts. A different mathematical equation than the 1/10 of the city. But the 1/10 of the city means 9/10 is still unaffected at the point of the French Revolution. And that's the rest of Christendom. But in Revelation 16, in the Armageddon crash, a result of the seventh plague, it was the greatest earthquake that ever was, and it brings down the complete city, all three parts is brought out. Okay, civil, Protestant, and papal. All right, good. And the 7,000 men, if those haven't, you know, in our verse 13, slain of men, 7,000. In the Oxford, the marginal note tells us it's slain the names of men or titles of men. And so that was just the thought was that in the French Revolution, all the clergy titles, which are many and in papacy, and all the aristocracy titles, which are many, and all the other figures of importance in society, which are many in the time of France, of the French Revolution, all that was brought down. And that was the point of the revolutionaries. All men are equal. And so they eliminated all these aspects of entitlement, which is a funny word. Title, entitlement. Interesting. Okay. Any other comments on anything so far? Ruth?
I thought it was interesting. I was looking at Luke 23:30 when Jesus was being led to the crucifixion.
Okay. Luke 23:30.
Then shall they begin to say to the mountains, fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. So he was using the same phrase for the destruction of Jerusalem, that's what they'll be saying. So we could use that also as a example of this, what they were doing. They were trying to hide from God's wrath by being defended, really, at that point by the zealots that took over the city, and the zealots turned on the people and made it all the worse.
All right, that's a great reference. I hadn't had that one in mind, but we're going to need to include that in our future notes because that really is fitting in harmony with the depiction of the fall and destruction of Jerusalem at the first Advent time as another picture of the Armageddon crash. But here again, they're wanting to be, Jesus is prophesying really, to the women that, they were going to have a time where they were going to seek any earthly security and protection possible, but it would not be there. All right. Very good. Sister Debbie.
That's an interesting note. I was looking up that they say to the mountains or the governments and the rocks. And I said, well, what would be the rocks? It's not hills. So I looked it up in Strong's, and it's actually a feminine version of that word, Petra. And if you look at these rocks as feminine, maybe it's the religious aspect of the religious authorities. Because a rock, part of a mountain, you know, religious authority. It's just a thought. I don't know if that's true. But Strong's did say that word rocks is a feminine. Over.
So back in Revelation 6, in verse 14, the heaven, which is clearly the religious part, was destroyed. And in verse 15, it brings about all the earthly civil and financial and military people of power, that they're the ones asking to be covered over. So they're seeking it in the earth. The heaven was in 14, a religious part. And that's part of what we were talking about, how in this is a very good depiction of what we find in Revelation 18 with the final destruction. The religious part falls first, then the civil and the economic part falls. Sister Debbie.
So this word rocks, are you saying that that's financial rather than like a governmental? Because I found it interesting that it was referred to as feminine, but a lot of countries, they do say she, you know, for countries too. So over.
Well, the rocks I'm thinking is earthly, anything earthly that's supposed to be have the ability to protect. Don't read too much into feminine on Greek words. You got to be careful with that because they use I'm not thinking of the right word. You'll all know, but they use the gender definitions differently. It's not always as exacting as how we use it. Like sometimes a table in some languages is called a her or a him, but it's a table. It's gender neutral. But, okay, we'll leave it there. Brother Mark, candle.
Well, you know, I never thought of it as being feminine or not, but it's about when the feminist movement started in the 1870s, I forget her name, but it doesn't matter. She's dead. women's movements to get vote or to become more prominent. And today you see it really going in an extreme area, you know, with gay rights and that. You think you're going to hide from trouble by joining a feminist movement if you're feminine. You know, that could be one area that is probably not what's said here, but when you said feminist, I thought, oh yeah, feminist movement has sort of split and gone parallel to those trying to hide. Over.
Okay, very good. I can see now the friends are taking this and running with it, in the chat. And you know what? I'm going to leave it there. So y'all just do what you want over there. turning back to Revelation 6.
Yeah. That's why I'm keen to work on some more. I'm not sure with it all, but.
So what we're going to do then is we're going to leave that for your each consideration. No problem. More power to it. And I'm going to look at this Revelation 6 and verse 16 and tackle the second part of that verse. They say, under the mountains and the rocks, cover us, hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? So, we have two choices here, and maybe more. Maybe there'll be something feminine that come in here. I had a third that I hadn't thought of. But nonetheless, we've got either the French Revolution seemed as if it was the time of the end in the sense that everything was coming apart there and this must be going to be the wrath of God, or this is then changing and saying that we are at that end time. I have to say that I've kind of started this, the great day of the wrath, as beginning in 1799 with the beginning of the time of the end and the setting of the stage. That's normally how I've applied this, but we're happy to entertain further comments on it. Ruth.
Well, one way to look at it is that if the Lord hadn't stepped in and held back the four winds, it could have become the final conflict because it was going to take over. It would have easily taken over the world, but the Lord had to send the harvest message yet. and the Bible societies were just going to get started, and the Lord was going to return, like in 7 verse 2, I saw another angel ascending from the east having the seal of the living God, so that still had to happen yet, so he had to hold back the four winds so that it wouldn't become this final. But if you were living at that time, you could have easily thought that this was it.
Okay. Yep. Very good. Further comments. Sister Debbie.
Well, like what was brought out before on other days, the French Revolution, like Ruth said, could have escalated just because the other monarchies were scared of it and they wanted to stop it, and they were going to send in troops. And I can't remember the reason they didn't. I know it's in that book. I can't remember the reason they didn't send troops in, but they were ready to. All the monarchies were scared to death of this revolution that was going on in France. And they were ready to stop it in any way possible, but something else happened or something occurred to them, and they were held back. Over.
Okay, very good. Brother Chris.
Yeah, this result of the mountains being shaken, that, you know, it's all part of our fourth volume, where it was because of that all of these blue bloods and countries all related to each other started to amass their weaponry, and the great buildup over the next century, which led to 1914. So they all thought somehow they could fortify themselves above their neighboring relative, who was also amassing weapons and designing weapons of mass destruction. So we can see that it was all based on fear of protecting themselves. They didn't want to depend on others to fall on them. They wanted to be the ones falling, falling upon. Over.
Yeah, all true. Very good. Thank you. Ruth.
One point that was interesting to me was that all the monarchies in Europe that had colonies, they were so distracted by how they were going to react to the French Revolution and protect themselves that they lost control of their colonies. And that's one of the things that happened, where we have all these countries now that originally were part of Britain, the British Empire, or originally part of Portugal or Spain or all these things. Now they're all independent. So it really did affect the whole world because the colonies were everywhere. Over.
All right. Yeah, certainly. The idea of liberty and humans having their rights, which was, as the friends have brought out in the past studies, had much of its origination in America. And then when America withstood Britain and such, a lot of Americans traveled to, or I shouldn't say a lot, some Americans traveled to France and in pre-revolutionary time, and they met with people who had similar kind of thinking, and there was an exchange of ideas, and the exchange of ideas continued to ferment until such a time as it exploded in France. And one of the things that made the French Revolution able to sustain itself was that the army would not turn against the common people. They decided not to do that. If they were willing to go against their fellow Frenchmen and women who were rioting, they could have quelled it. But they didn't. They wouldn't turn on their own countrymen in that situation. So, all right. Any other comments on these verses? Well, then we'll leave it there. And in chapter 7, when we read verse 1, and after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And so just starting out here, We could read just this verse, but you know, to do it justice, I think we should read through, verse 1 through 4. So instead of me just talking here, Brother James, could you read that for us, please?
Revelation 7, 1 through 4. After this, I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding back the four winds of the earth to prevent any wind from blowing on the land or on the sea or on any tree. Then I saw another angel coming from the east, having the seal of the living God. He called out in a loud voice to the four angels who had been given and the sea, "Do not harm the land or the sea, or the trees, until we put a seal on the foreheads of the servants of our God." Those who were sealed, 144,000 from all the tribes of Israel.
Okay, thank you. So, we have, if you're making your list, we have four angels. They're standing at the four corners of the earth. They're holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree, until such time that the 144,000 were sealed. Then we read that once they're sealed with the living, the seal of the living God, that no, I'll leave it at that. That's our fours. And so four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds. Who would like to start out our comments on this? Ruth.
Well, one thought on the four corners of the earth is the financial, social, religious, and political pillars on which society rests were all being challenged. So they had to be held up or the anarchy would descend. So that's what was taking place. That's what the Lord did. So, and the angels would be the mighty spiritual forces that he used to hold up, shore this up, because it would have all fallen apart too early.
Okay, very good. Those four were all affected, what you read, the financial, social, religious, and civil, were all affected in that French Revolution as we've been talking. Okay, Brother Chris.
Just similar to that, just from a different perspective for what it's worth, 4, 4, and 4 is 12, and that's our number symbolizing government. So this is spiritual forces governing the events unfolding, perhaps. Over.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Sister Cheryl and Brother Adi.
Well, it may be jumping ahead just a tad, but I appreciate that you also had me read 8:1, the space of time where Brother Russell is doing his work, and the purpose for holding back the wind is so we know that the servants of God can be sealed with in their head with the knowledge of God. And it just reminds me of Ephesians 4:14, where it says that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. So showing that the servants of God, we would be tossed to and fro with deceit if the angels didn't give us this space of time so we could be sealed in our heads with the knowledge and plan and purposes of God. Over.
Okay, very good. That's a nice connection. Thank you, Brother Adi.
I just want to say that the social may be preparing to blow because of the social media that's out there right now. And there's anarchy within the social media, and the governments are concerned about trying to contain that because they can't control what's being said now. Over.
Well, that, That's going to, as we know, we wouldn't have never guessed it. But now we know that the social media is just a huge part of this, running to and fro virtually. The, exchange of ideas is immediate. And it's the smallest amount, the smallest person, the most least, seemingly least influential person can have a huge effect. And, Brother Adi.
Yeah, also for the financial, the cryptocurrencies are coming into play where the governments can't control that either. China just announced that they won't accept cryptocurrency. Over.
Yeah, what country was it that just tried to institute that as their currency? It's a little Latin American country, if I remember right. Noriega was the taken out from there, I think. Anywho. It didn't go well for them. Bitcoin dropped like tremendously the day after they instituted it. But if you follow the history of cryptocurrency, it's pretty amazing. I don't want to get sidetracked on it, but it to do cryptocurrency, if you've ever looked into what they call mining of cryptocurrency, the creation of it, it takes a tremendous amount of computer power. I mean, fabulous amount. And that takes a fabulous amount of electric energy. It's kind of fascinating. I don't know where that all ends up being, except part of the trouble for sure. But very fascinating. I like to think of how we've often, not me, but as some of the brethren have often said that the final witness of the feet members will be during a trial. They'll be put on perhaps public trial to show what traitors they are like Jesus was crucified between two thieves. And we often thought, well, how could they give a final truth message? And we would just say, well, the Lord can arrange that because look, he's always just used the one or the two for his witnesses and they've got the entire witness out. He just used three Hebrews out of a whole crowd of Babylonians, or he used a Daniel to go before the king. The king hadn't even remembered him. The queen had to remind him, you got this old time prophet, he could probably help you. So you take this TikToker who's got some idea of how to be influential, and they're an influencer and they make millions and they're like a TikToker. And so now all of a sudden my AOL newsfeed has to give me at least three or four TikTokers every day I check my news of what they're doing. And it's like, really? My newsfeed? I'm looking at TikTokers. So that just demonstrates, this power of social media. It's not over yet. It's going to continue to increase, but demonstrate that the governments can't control. I think that's Brother Adi's main point. The government, things are happening that the government can't control. So this holding of the four winds is becoming more and more tenuous. Further comments? Brother James.
Along those lines in the financial aspect of the four corners of the earth, Hal Peter Thiel is the whole reason he created PayPal, in his words, were to put a Swiss bank account in everybody's pocket so that the government couldn't get that money anyway. And now that's like all ending in January 1st. All that money will be taxed. And in the U.S. at least, and I think it's already happening. And this guy is a real anarchist, this Peter Thiel, who created it. His whole idea is that he doesn't want the government involved in his business or his life. And he's already has plans to make islands off of the coast of California, where they dump a bunch of sand and over, just millions and millions and tons of sand. And he wants to make an island for Justin so he can start his own society that doesn't have a government. This is his big plan. So, yeah, I just thought it was interesting. It lined right, when I read that, it lined right up with our understanding of biblical symbology of islands And here he's making a literal island for himself. And then my other comment was on the four winds, thinking that they come from every direction, north, south, east, and west. And that's what we would call a tornado. There is no, you know, like we're used to the wind coming, at least here in Michigan, the wind coming out of the west. And then, but every now and again, we'll get that hot wind that comes from the south, and you can feel the temperature change in it. And then you know if it's coming from the north, it's cooler. Rarely we get the wind coming from the east, but when it does, it's usually storms. So think of having four that'd be a pretty nasty situation. Over.
Oh yes, so true. Very good. And I can't help but to think about how the Chinese are building their islands over in the South Pacific and laying claim, and that's resulted in not just that, but their activities has resulted in the United States and Britain and Australia signing a deal to build advanced nuclear submarines for Australia. But I was thinking that's part of what Jeff Bezos would like to do, is to build his islands in near space. He would like to then be outside anybody's tax zone, because he's going to be outside the Earth's atmosphere. So he's looking forward to, you know, what he's doing now are just stepping stones to his grander ideals of having his, you know, what they're doing on the space station. He'd like to make it a larger operation. Anywho. Oh, that's very interesting. Brilliant minds at work with billions of dollars doing their creative way to either escape Earth's problems. But what that tells me simply is the best minds recognize they cannot solve Earth's problems. Too big. The Bill Gates and all the others with their billions, they're just making dents where they think best, whether it's true or not. That's what they're trying, but they're recognizing they can't really solve Earth's problems. All right. So the friends of, bringing out the point, I think we all recognize that the four cardinal points of the Earth show that this is an all-encompassing trouble that's being prevented. It's being restrained from becoming this fantastic whirlwind of trouble that will take down all of society, all of religion, all of finance. And that's the Armageddon crash, as we know and we read elsewhere. But the Lord was determined to use spiritual powers in order to restrain the events of the French Revolution, and in fact to hold it in check, as brought out, until the church would be complete. Now, an interesting aspect that you all will remember is in Revelation 12. Remember what led to the French Revolution? I mean, it was all of the Lord's direction, but from Revelation 12, we have a certain symbology that something took place which developed into the French Revolution. And is a very surprising source. Anyone on my feeble wavelength? Ruth and Brother Dan.
Wasn't it the dragon that spewed out water after the woman? And the earth swallowed it up?
Right. Right. So let's just take a quick look there. And before I call on you, Brother Dan, I'll let you read there, Ruth, Revelation 12, and read for us verses 13 to 17.
And when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into a place where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ.
So after reading this, Ruth, did you have anything more to add?
Well, it's after the 1260 days that the serpent cast out the water. So it was the rights, the concept of the rights of man and the concept of the truth of the oppression that people were suffering, and they revolted and turned into the French Revolution. The earth helped the woman by, the people liked the truth, and so they accepted it, and so they didn't persecute the woman after that.
Okay, very good. Thank you. Brother Dan.
Yeah, not much more to add, Brother Rick. Just the French Revolution being instigated by all of these truths that Satan hoped to use to destroy the woman, but of course it is the Lord's timing, and so the people swallowed those truths on individual rights, and of course there was a great revolution. So over.
All right, very good. So the friends are familiar. Brother Russell explains these verses pretty well for us. That's one of the blessings of how we came to understand how to interpret the book of Revelation, is because of his writings on this 12th chapter. And you'll remember, you probably have notes that you find some of this in the third volume. We talked about it already. We covered it. Verses, pages 63 and 66, and he dealt with this with Daniel, the 12th chapter, about how the angel that stood straddling the flood. The flood was the French Revolution there, and it was at the end of the times of 1799, the end of the 1260 days or years. So Satan saw that he couldn't defeat the church during all the persecutions of the inquisitions and such. He ended up, in the end, turning to a different tactic. He put forth the truth, water, truth, out of the mouth, spoken truth, written truth. And that was the rights of man. And it took off in France with the writings of, like, Voltaire and others, which ended up creating the French Revolution, because the people absorbed that message and they turned on the religious and civil leaders in France. What Satan had hoped for was that these radical ideas of the rights of humans, the rights of man, would cause society to be a scared that their society was going to be shaken and destroyed, and would drive the people into the arms of the religious and civil rulers to protect them from these radical ideas. But much to Satan's horror, the earth society in France absorbed those ideas. And it's true. It brought about exactly what Satan was hoping to create as a fear. It became a reality, and it became a revolution, and it overthrew the society that France knew. Now, the reason we find this so interesting is Satan, as an angel of light, will sometimes put forth truth, will put forth a certain amount of light in order to enhance his errors. And that's what Brother Russell makes comments on elsewhere. He says If there is some truth associated with the error, it makes the error more palatable. And that's what part of what Satan is doing. So before I call on Sister Cindy's hand, I want to just bring out that the point that we were, the point of me suggesting this is going back to our Revelation 7, verse 1, that these ideas of the rights of man or human rights, the earth swallowed it in France, French Revolution. The Lord held it in check from spreading further. But those ideas continued to blossom throughout the 1800s, and they're part of the Jubilee cry now of the individual rights. And we often say, like Brother Russell wrote, some fancied, some true. So we've had nothing but the Jubilee cry of rights since our Lord's return and the ongoing increase of knowledge. And yet it's interesting that it's these freedoms and rights of the Jubilee cry that is going to result in the final tearing down of the systems. But here in France, it was Satan who inadvertently brought this about, thinking he was just going to scare the people. So, okay, I'll leave it there. Sister Cindy.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we hear you fine.
Oh, good. We're having some problems on Friday. Couldn't hear me. I have a question. I cannot for the life of me figure out Satan, and which is, I think is a good thing, but in regards to this Revelation 12, I mean, throughout history up to that point, you had had peasant revolts and things like that. The peasants were never happy. No matter what country you pick to read history about, and you read about their peasanthood, it was always a rough life, always. And they were never, ever happy. And so, part of what led up to the breaking point of the was the catalyst of the French Revolution. You had the bread riots. The ladies couldn't make their bread to feed their families. You had the salt taxes. You had if you had grain, you had to pay a tax on the thing that mushed up the grain to make it usable. And then you had to pay a tax on the road to drive it to wherever you needed to go. And then you had to pay a tax on the silo. And then, I mean, it was just, so when all was said and done, there was no money, and they're just being taxed to death. So why would Satan think, he's watched the history of humanity. He knows all this. So why would he think that's a good idea to say, we're going to give you a message like the rights of man, which is essentially what they've been clamoring for since in time memorial. And so why would he think it's a good thing to drive them back to the people that are oppressing them? It's like, it just defies all logic and common sense. It doesn't make any sense to me at all. If anything, I would have picked like an opposite kind of a message. So I don't know. I don't understand. If anyone could help me. Over.
Well, we don't have hardly any time left, but it's as odd of a psychological reasoning as why does a woman who is beaten by her husband and she's given an opportunity to leave quite often, still stay with the husband? And he beats her again. So why would any woman do that? Well, psychologically, there's some connecting link there that to an outsider doesn't seem to make sense. So society, although beaten down by their religion and their civil powers, they quite often will just return back to that because it's what they know. And it gives them a sense of security in a twisted way. I'll take the beating, but I'll feel secure financially. I'll have a roof over my head and that for my children, rather than go out into the unknown. So while it's true, it doesn't really make sense. Yet in the fallen human condition, people crave security more than they crave ideology. But every once in a while, these revolutions take root. And it does, people do respond in a right way. But more often, historically, the people try to rise up and it leads to a failure and they're back under their old government. So I don't have anything more to offer than that, Sister Cindy. Maybe others will on another day or maybe in the fellowship period. Our time is expired. We have to let the Toronto friends go to their meeting. Lord willing, we'll come back to Revelation 7 verse 1 next week.